And now, News for Gamers, Internet Star Radio Program proudly presents
the M4G Podcast.
Every week you're tuning in, listening to us ramble on about the latest in gaming news. And without further ado, let us introduce you to Zero Tolerance, Gambit's Con. You've got the wombat to a special guest or two if we are nice enough to let them on our podcast, the N4G Podcast.
Yeah, that's cool.
Jesus, we should have a cluck off.
Terrible. Hey, man, shut the
cluck
up.
All right, we're back for another week of News for Gamers Podcast Radio for the week of March 10th, 2008. I almost said 2007 again. But in the studio this week, we have the original trio is back again with Mr. Gambus Khan, Jason Gambrellas, and the Hizzle.
Hello, hello. Yeah, the time change has screwed up our internal clocks.
Well, and all of our overseas listeners might not understand that we lost an hour. We sprung forward, right. Which is basically it goes from being 2 to 3 instantaneously. Yeah. So you lose an hour of sleep, and on top of that, we just got hit with a giant blizzard snowstorm.
Yes,
a foot of snow melting outside. It's wonderful.
Gotta love it, yeah.
Yeah, but we braved the blizzard of awe 8 to bring you the News for Gamers podcast this week.
And also, that voice you hear is, of course, the Wombat, Ryan Wombold.
And what's up?
Then, of course, your host is here, as always, that I should not be leading. Oh, wait, I don't get to introduce myself, I'm sorry. It's like, no, you don't need to do that.
Nobody give a fuck about you.
Nobody gives a shit about you. You don't need to do that. But, as always, we're going to start off with what's fondling your console. So, Mr. Wombold, I'll start with you.
Dun, 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 dun.
Let's see. What's been fondling my console this week? Well, I played quite a bit of Rock Band.
Nice.
This week, actually. So, trucking through the co-op career, although now we're to the point where we have to play on hard.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we won't earn any more fans, and it's not going to happen, I don't think.
So, yeah, it's pretty rough.
So, but... I've been playing that. I've been playing a lot more Patapon. Oh yeah, Patapon.
Patapon.
I played a lot of that this week.
You messed up
my army.
You messed up my joke because I got distracted. But you said you were trucking through Rock Band. Speaking of trucking, did you download the Grateful Dead trucking?
Wow.
DLC. You see where I went with that?
I did not because I don't like the Grateful Dead.
I don't either. But I thought it
was an ingenious segue.
I thought it was good.
Yeah. It's very well done. So I did play a lot of that. I played MLB 2K8, not the show, 2K8, and, I'm not impressed. I mean, it's not bad by any stretch, but it's just not all that great. The batting is still way too simplistic for me. I can't stand the, pull back, push forward, and that's all you do to bat.
You can't change it this year?
You can, but all you can change it to is one button press. So you just push the button to swing. There's no aiming the bat. There's no... I mean, you can sort of hit left or right to decide whether you want to hit it to left or right field, but I like games like the show where you have a circle that you have to actually aim where the pitch is going to hit the ball because it takes a lot more skill and... It's more fun that way than just.
How was the pitching? Because I heard it was kind of like a little like Mortal Kombat kind of.
Yeah, it's you. If you wanna throw a fastball, different pitches have different motions on the right stick, and if you want to throw a fastball, you pull back on the stick and you hold it there until it gets the circle gets bigger, and it you stop it when you get to the right speed, and when it gets to the right speed, you push it forward. And you hold it forward until it shrinks back down into this other circle, and then you let the stick go. And if you hit the outer circle just right, you'll throw it fast, and if you hit the inner circle just right, you'll throw it accurately. And it works for the fastball really well. It takes a little time to get used to, but it does work very well. There's some pitches, though, doesn't work quite as well for. Fastball, it works pretty well. Slider, it works pretty well. Curveball, it works pretty well. The cutter doesn't really work as well to me, because instead of either, like, the slider and the curveball, you have to make, like, half-circle motions with the stick.
Mm-hmm.
For the cutter, you have to go down, and then you have to go up at a diagonal. And it just doesn't quite work as well as some of the other pitches do. But after you get used to it, it's pretty innovative way to do the pitching. So the pitching I do like, but...
Can you switch it back to the one-button press?
You can, yeah. Yeah, you can switch it back to just, you know, straight meter pitching.
I'm asking all these questions because when I play it, I play tard ball because I don't get into all this, like, in-depth playing. I just want to throw and hit.
Yeah.
That's really me.
You can actually throw with the right stick, too, like throw to bases, and that works. It works okay.
Do they use the diamond... idea where
right
is to first base, up is to second. Okay.
Yep, and you have to, if you push up to throw to second, a meter will come up above your guy's head, and it'll show, you know, how strong you're going to throw, and you have to try and let it go when it's still in the green and not when it's in the red, because if you throw it in the red, it'll be an inaccurate throw.
There's just so many variables going on in these baseball games anymore. I don't know what the hell's going on.
The one thing I will say for this year's 2K8 is that you can tell that they really did make an effort over last year's version to make it more realistic. Because like we were talking about a couple weeks ago, last year there were some hits that just weren't even possible in the game. Like, it wasn't at all possible last year to hit a pop-up to the catcher. It just didn't exist in the game. So they actually have done a lot of work this year to make it more realistic, but it still pretty clearly lags behind the show in terms of realism.
But that's what's good about having multiple games,
right,
is you get the competition, whereas with Madden now, it's just,
right,
you just get the game. That's all you get.
Absolutely. And,
I'm John Madden, raw!
fans of the 2K series of baseball will like this year's version, because there's a lot of good stuff in it, and they have improved it over last year's quite a bit. But if you're more of a sim head as far as baseball goes, and you like it as realistic as it can get, I think the show is your better bet.
Cool.
So I'll be staying away from that game then.
There you go.
Because I've only played like 3 baseball games in my entire life. And the first one was NES Baseball, and the second one was Bases Loaded.
Nice.
Bases Loaded was awesome.
Bases Loaded was the bomb.
And then the third one was Ken Griffey Jr. for the SNES.
Which was also the bomb.
Yeah.
I thought you played Bottom of the Ninth, which was also the bomb.
It was the bomb.
I love Bottom of the Ninth. The first Bottom of the Ninth for the PlayStation?
I don't think I've ever played that game.
Oh, I thought you got into it when we all got into it, because I like All-Star Baseball back on the... when it was on the original PS2 and Xbox.
I thought All-Star Baseball was decent on the 64, actually. When All-Star Baseball was on the 64, it was decent.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, I also played...
Well, we're not to you yet.
No, I'm talking... He's
in the past still.
Oh, you're in the past.
Yeah,
okay. This is past fondling.
Baseball Superstars for the
Baseball
Neo
Stars?
Geo.
Yeah.
For the Neo Geo?
Yeah.
Baseball Stars was the bomb.
I wish they would make a game like that where...
There's a lot of games that are the bomb.
It's true.
I want a baseball game that really, really doesn't take itself seriously, and you have, like, super-powered...
You should play the Bigs.
Need to get MLB Power Pros on the Wii.
Yeah, one of those two. The Bigs is really fun. Really fun. I haven't played Power Pro, so I don't know how fun it is, but the Bigs is addictively fun, especially the home run pinball. That's awesome.
Is there, like, a little mini game where you, like... power up with steroids?
No. That they're waiting for Midway to release MLB Blitz.
Slugfest.
Yeah, well.
Slugfest.
Oh, my God.
Because in the Blitz, you can juice up on steroids.
Right. That's just crazy. It's like the dark side.
Indeed. But I don't know that I played much else, to be honest with you. What else did I play? Did I play anything? I don't think I did. I think it was really pretty much limited to those three. Oh, no, duh. I'm an idiot. I also, finally, 27 hours later, beat Mass Effect.
And
accomplished my goal of getting the completionist achievement on my first playthrough.
Whoa.
So, Yep, I was pretty happy about that. That was the one thing that I wanted to do, and I accomplished it, so I was pretty happy about that. And the ending I actually kind of liked. I thought it was pretty well done.
Yeah, I like the ending. There's just no shock to it, I don't think.
Right, and I'm anxiously awaiting the downloadable content as well as the next game.
They posted some new screenshots of it.
I saw it.
Very nice.
Yeah.
It does look very good. So, and like I said, the Batarians, a new race that's in it, they're one of the main races from the prequel book, if you've read the prequel book, so.
Awesome.
Sweet nectar.
So, but I think that was it. I think that rounds it up, because I spent a lot of my time playing Mass Effect this week, so.
A lot of Mass Effect. Forgot about it.
Mass Effect.
A lot of Mass Effect.
Yes. So, anyways, on to you.
All right.
South Pole.
Oh.
Speaking of which, I need to mention as well that you're starting to get the Solid Snake haircut growing back again.
Sweet. Thank you.
Are you going for the Solid Snake mullet?
Yeah. I'm going for the...
It's not really a mullet because it's the same length. It's just...
But I want it to be a mullet, man.
Oh.
You want a mullet?
Well, then you need to grow the back out a little more.
Yeah.
And I need to grow my beard out a little bit more, too, so I can be like, Colonel, this is Snake.
And dye it gray.
Yeah, and then get you an eye patch. Be good to go.
Man, that'd be instant costume.
I'm sure you could probably grow a mullet and a full beard by June when Metal Gear launches, and then you could show up at launch
in a sneaking dressed suit.
Dressed like Solid Snake.
It's a sneaking suit. That'd be freaking amazing.
Oh, I dream of June.
June, come here quick.
Whoa there. Calm down.
Come here, Jesse.
You're gonna be playing Metal Gear with all the lights down and some candles burning.
Yeah, some incense.
Some music playing in the background.
Playing some Seal in the background.
Butt-ass naked.
Wow. Okay, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
Dripped in butter.
Okay, wow. The games I've been playing this week.
Welcome back. Are you
welcome back.
Your future fondling.
Really trying, baby.
Yeah, what's your future fondling?
I think everybody's just going to be the same.
Yeah, today I plan on getting Smash Brothers, so that's part of my future fondling. I should also be getting MLB The Show very, 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 very soon. And also, I've got Devil May Cry at my house via the wonder of Gamefly. And
hopefully one other game that should be showing up this week.
Yes, yes. Hopefully Destroy All Humans Big Willy Unleashed will show up this week so we can finally announce the details of our contest that we've been telling you about for 3 weeks.
But if you want to see some interesting responses from the dev, you can visit ztgamedomain.com.
Boom. Nice plug.
And read the interview that Wombat had with the developer.
Yeah, and I was very impressed with the quality of the interview.
Yeah, I read it, and it was really good.
They went very in-depth on some questions, and they didn't just give me a one-shot answer. They actually.
Well, I loved his answer to the question about which alien would come out of the trailer in the morning.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
That was pretty good. So check that out. But
good
anyways.
Stuff.
Sweet. I got to check that out as well.
You should. Why don't you visit it every day is beyond me.
I visit it every other day.
Okay,
so.
Well, then you need to get your addiction up.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, this week in fondling, I've been playing two games.
Wow. Yeah. Don't blow anybody out of the water.
Yeah.
I have the epic fondling.
Not to be confused with This Week in Fondling, the pedophile magazine.
Two worlds.
What?
You know what?
Just out of nowhere.
I wasn't going to mention this, but you need to check out Speedwax achievements on Two Worlds.
Why?
He has beat the entire game. He has 900 points.
Holy
crap.
Out of 1,000. I was like, holy shit, he beat the... And this is what's fun. I was thinking about doing a new segment called The Achievement Check, where we look at the achievements and see how good they are.
Right.
Two Worlds would get, like, a very bad score for achievements, because, like, if you look at them, they're going down, you get 10 points for this,
right.
20 points for this, 15. When you beat the game, 370 points.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did you just, like, start putting the achievements in and then get to the end, you're like, fuck, we still got 370 points left. I just give it all to them when they beat the game.
Just give it all to them.
Kind of like the overall development of the game itself, huh?
Oh.
No, you know who gets the worst achievements ever award? The the version of Quake 2 that shipped with Quake 4 for the 360.
Oh, yeah, 9 achievements worth no points.
Worth no points. Worth 0 points.
That's terrible.
Why even put them in there?
That's stupid.
But I'm sorry, I had to get into the, you know, this can't be an N4G podcast without two worlds.
Right.
Without two worlds.
And Kane and Lynch.
Alrighty then. Two games this week, both of them RPGs. Of course, I played some more Lost Odyssey.
You still digging?
I'm still digging, and you know what? Past couple of episodes, I've mentioned that, you know, it's got a little bit of a learning curve. It's kind of challenging, but not nearly as challenging as the other game I played.
Let me ask you a question about Lost Odyssey real quick before you switch over. Have you got to the turning point of the game? And I'm not talking about Fall of Liberty.
Because nobody should get to that.
Because I've read in reviews of a mention that the game goes from being a Final Fantasy XII to a Final Fantasy VI. Like, real vibrant, colorful, goofy, old-school Japanese, like, color palette. Have you got to that point yet? Because I'm kind of curious.
I think I'm kind of, sort of. I'm in the middle of Disc 2. And it does seem like it's becoming more traditional Final Fantasy, but at the same time, it still has the complex.
Maybe you
story.
Haven't hit it fully yet, because the description I heard was that it goes from being serious to being a little fruity.
Well, thing is,
description.
I mean, because it's like so colorful and just lighthearted, as opposed to the real serious dark overtone that it starts off with.
Well, as a matter of fact, the last area that I went through actually does have a lot of lighthearted moments in it, and as it does have a lot of colors, so I'm thinking that...
Colors.
Maybe you hit it and you didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
It was like, bam, in your face.
It's like, bam! But anyway...
Bam, bam.
Anyways.
Bam, bam.
Lost Odyssey, really good, but...
Still digging it.
Yeah. But the other game I played this week, oh my god.
OMG.
OMG, capital letters, all capitals. Oh, my God.
With a whole bunch of exclamation points and ones after it.
Yeah. Yes. It's a little game for the Nintendo DS called Mystery Dungeon Shirin the Wanderer.
Wow. That is a mouthful of I don't know.
That's a whole lot of title right
there. Okay. Here's the history.
Is it like Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon?
Actually, those games are... Those games and the Pokemon Mystery Dungeons are actually like dumbed down versions of the original Mystery Dungeon, which was released back in 1995 only in Japan.
Snap. Nice. History from Dr. Gambus.
So this game is actually a remake of the original 1995 SNES version.
For the DS.
For the DS.
Gotcha. I'm following a little bit.
And
I like the Dr. Gambus line. There should be a doctorate in gaming. You should be able to get your PhD in video games.
You should be the doctor of ARPEX.
Yeah, but when I play this game, I get the feeling that the developers, when they made it, were basically saying, okay, let's make the toughest RPG ever made. Let's make a game that in so many ways basically says to the player, screw you, you're going to die right now, whether you like it or not.
I always like games that tell me, screw you, you're going to die.
Yeah. It is a game where if you die, which happens quite often, I must tell you.
The game says screw you.
The game is like, okay, down back to level one.
Oh, are you kidding me?
And all your items are gone.
What the fuck?
Dude, why would you even play that?
Yeah, seriously, dude, that sounds like torture. Are you a masochist?
I must be a masochist because for some reason the game kind of beckons to me. And it's sort of like, I'm almost, it's kind of an arcade-esque RPG because you...
How long is it, for God's sakes, if every time you die you have to start over?
I'm going to guess that if you could just walk through it, it'd probably be about 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
It'd probably be about a two-hour game, but...
So it's about twice as long as God of War on the PSP.
Oh, here we go. This cannot get away.
I'm just kidding.
But I got a feeling it's one of those games that, you know, is 2 hours in actual length if you just walk through it, but in practical length, probably end up spending like 30, 40 hours playing it.
Wow.
Because it is, it's actually quite a deep game. It's simplistic on the surface. It looks like a Zelda game, but there's a subtlety to it to where every single space that you move is actually a turn. So the game is turn-based, but when you're playing it, it looks real-time. The best way I could describe is almost like a Knights of the Old Republic done in a 16-bit overhead view.
Gotcha.
Where it's like pseudo-real-time and turn-based. But it is incredibly hard. Yeah, when you die, you start at level 1. All your items are gone. And if that's not bad enough...
Oh, wait, there's more?
Yeah, if you backtrack, you also lose levels.
What?
Yeah.
Does this game just hate you?
it does hate you. And, get this, the items that you have, you can store them in an item storage house, but if they're like herbs or something like that, they go bad. So,
wow.
So they die off.
Spoiling items.
Yes.
Backtracking causes is you know, punishment. And
yeah.
If you die, you start all the way over.
Yeah.
Fuck this game. I will never play
yeah.
it.
No.
And, it gets even better.
Oh,
it gets
man.
Even better. When you're like, going through the dungeons and stuff.
Does it kick you in the nuts when you die?
You know, a couple times it almost felt like it. But there'd be like these characters on the map. And you'll be walking around and be like, oh, I wonder what that person has to say. And they're basically like, would you close your eyes for me? And I'm like, okay, which was stupid of me for doing that. All of a sudden, I'm blind and I cannot see. And a freaking enemy just comes up and kills you. And there's parts.
Man. And then the game spouts a little mouth and spits in your face.
And there's actually, like, parts where you'd like go through another floor and you appear in another floor of the dungeon, and then you'd be surrounded instantly by 5 enemies right when you would get there. So you have to figure out it forces you to use every single little item that you find, because there's like scrolls and magical powers that you find, and some of them you can take out all the enemies with the items,
right?
So it forces you to use every single item in a strategic way. And there's also this little dude that like runs around sometimes that you might run into. If he bumps into you, he automatically steals like half your gold.
Nice.
So it's, dude, the game is
who made this game?
Like Golden Axe for sadomasochists.
Who made this game?
I think Satan made this game. I imagined when I was playing this is the game that people play in hell, like RPG hell.
Is this the one from Sega?
Yeah.
So,
basically, the developers of this game hate video gamers and want them to die.
Did you pay
Pretty
money
much.
For this?
Actually, I did.
Wow, this game should pay you money to play it.
Well, actually, I like it. I did my research on the game. I knew it was going to be super tough going in.
I'm all about super tough games.
Yeah.
Where do you get sick
of? Dude, I beat all 3 Ninja Gaidens on the NES.
You
so.
Haven't played anything this hard in a long time, though.
It has been a long time.
It is a monster.
So, but,
I did read.
There is a line of
yeah.
difficulty.
And this game crossed it like two bad things ago.
Thing is, though, I've read some reviews about it, and I've read that once you start learning how effectively to use every item,
right,
it becomes easier, and it actually becomes actually doable to where you can beat the game. But in order to do that, you must know strategically when and how
right.
and where to use like every item that's in the game.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing because...
it's... It is. It's like freaking masochistic, man. It's the ultimate.
What cracks me up is like you're telling me that you read these reviews and people say, well, once you learn to do this, 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 and this, and this, 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 and this, you can beat the game.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
The game actually becomes fun once you learn to do this, wow. This, 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 this.
Wow,
this,
game. This. Thank you for allowing me to complete this, you know, that I paid for by beating the shit out of me and making me feel like just terrible. Terrible.
Also picked up because it was made by the co-creator of Dragon Quest.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, he should go back to making Dragon Quest because this just sounds terrible.
It's actually a subgenre in Japan. It's called rogue RPGs.
Really?
Yeah.
Rogue?
Yeah, rogue RPGs.
Rogue RPGs.
Yeah.
I think they should call it masochistic RPGs.
Yeah. It's tough, but. You know something? I keep on returning to it. I do. I mean, I'm just like,
hey, whatever floats your boat.
I'm like, it's almost like the equivalent of like maybe playing Jordan on Guitar Hero 2.
You're gonna have trouble getting married, finding a woman that's you know, willing to put you through that much torture if you enjoy that kind of thing.
Okay. I guess that ends onward with my fondling. So, Zero Tolerance, what's been fondling your console?
Wow. I have the epic fondling this week.
Wow, epic.
Whoa.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
I was about to say, aren't you going to say terrible again?
Terrible. It's Charles Barkley. Get out of here.
Well, so the three people that have actually seen the Clerks Uncensored cartoons.
Well, actually, I was going to try at some point in the show to work in plaintiff, plaintiff. But,
nice.
You know.
Were you trying to work in, oh my God, who is driving? Bear is driving. How can that be?
You know, whenever somebody says something and I hear the words, how can that be, I always
go,
yeah,
that's the first thing I think of.
And I go, I could make a joke here, but nobody's
going
to get it.
No one would ever get it. If you haven't seen the Clerks Uncensored cartoons, go out and find them. They're really cheap.
They're clearanced out for like $10.
Right.
And they're freaking hilarious.
You get all six episodes.
Which only five of them were even real episodes.
Right.
One never aired.
Right.
I think it only aired two episodes of it on
right.
TV.
You know, I remember seeing that game. I mean,
that show.
I remember seeing that show right when it first came on television.
Yeah, they advertised it during the Super Bowl, and then it ran, I think, honestly, two episodes,
yeah,
and it
two
got
episodes.
Canceled. So,
yeah.
But it's very funny.
I can't believe it got canceled, because that was freaking hilarious. I guess people just didn't like it.
People just didn't get it, I don't think. But anyways, welcome to the news for Clerks Uncensored fans.
Welcome to the Kevin Smith
podcast,
weekly podcast. Anyway, well, this week I finally did pick up Frontlines Fuel of War, which is made by one of the old dev teams from Battlefield, and it shows.
Mm. And it shows.
It shows. I really like Frontline single player. It's kind of an interesting concept. The story actually caught me because it takes place in like the year 2024, and the world is running out of oil, and all the different factions are fighting each other over oil. Like, you have China, and you have Russia, and you have the U.S., and the U.S. is trying to go into these different countries like Turkmenistan and fight these other ones to get to the oil repository.
So it's kind of like how it's going to be in about another 10 years.
Possibly. But the idea behind the game is that it's like you have these objectives. You're on the front line of a battlefield. And if you take these objectives, the front line moves up further.
Hmm.
So like, and then that becomes like your turf. So, and you just consistently move forward. You get these checkpoints. So it's like Battlefield where you capture the checkpoint and then you move on. What's really cool about it is, like, the weapon selection and the way the game plays. Like, it's in the future, so you have, like, these little gadgets that you can get, like a little remote control helicopter that you fly around and it detonates, or you drive this little tank in and blow people away with it. And it's just, I thought I was burnt on first-person shooters for a while, but I'm really having a good time with this game. Really having a good time with it. And I haven't even played the multiplayer yet, so.
Interesting. So you haven't even played multiplayer, and you still think that it's a really good game.
Yeah, I think there's like seven levels, and I'm on like five, I think. And I mean, they're long levels. There's probably like five mini levels in each one. So, and they're huge levels, like literally 40 minutes to an hour per level.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're long levels.
Hmm.
And they're fun, and you got to use a lot of strategy. And the nice thing is I never felt constrained to go one way. I never felt like there was only one way to do something. So, like, yeah. A lot of games claim that, like, oh, there's multiple paths to go do this, this, and this, and then you get in there and you're like, well, there's only one good path to
It's like a fork in the road, and then it's like right after that, the fork reunites and becomes one path again.
There's actually one level, I mean, it's not like I'm spoiling anything, because, you know.
Spoiler alert!
Where there's, like, you're in on a battlefield, and they literally nuke you. Right there on the battlefield, and you see the mushroom clouds exploding in the back, and you have to stay inside your tank so that you don't hit radiation.
Nice.
And then you have to stay inside of it. And it's actually really cool, like the effect of it, like when it blows, when they hit the nuclear explosion, just like this gust just brushes over the battlefield.
Is it as good as the nuke effect in Call
of
Duty?
Spoiler! Oh. No, it's
dun,
not.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's not as cool as that.
Okay. Spoiler alert! Past tense.
Well, I think Call of Duty came out in November.
Right, so
it's March.
Hopefully you've reached the middle of the game where that,
you think?
That takes place.
But
considering it's 6 hours long.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a lot of vehicles, there's a lot of stuff to do, and it's really fun. The only thing that I miss is I wish it was co-op, because the partners are retarded. Like, literally, they are just dumb.
Man.
They do the stuff that Killer Wolverine talked about, where they'll be 2 feet in front of a guy. And missing him entirely. But what kills me is when you're trying to capture a point, they just run up and kind of give you cover fire. They don't actually kill anybody.
Yeah.
But once you take that point, they will wipe out everybody in that area.
Nice.
So, like, if you just want to speed through the game, throw it on casual and just keep taking the points, because then all the enemies will just get wiped out. So that's the only flaw that I
found.
Yeah,
that sounds like it could break the game.
It could, but then again, if you're playing on casual, then you're not really playing the game anyway.
Right.
You need to bump it up to at least normal, because then you have a very good chance of dying before you even get to that point. So.
Oh, okay.
But your guys on the battlefield are really good for drawing fire away from the enemies. That's
nice.
About what they're good for. Because I don't think they can die.
Nice.
I don't know. I've never seen them die. So. But aside from that, I also played... What else? I had my list up. I was playing... some more Trigger Heart Exelica. And I wanted to talk about this because what's funny about Trigger Heart is I don't believe in the whole we don't give you an opportunity to see the entire game thing like Omega 5 does.
Yeah.
Whereas if you suck, you're never going to see this game. I mean, I like a challenge, don't get me wrong. But with Trigger Heart, you have infinite continues when you play. There is no worry of you're not going to finish the game. Granted, you know, there is an achievement and a sense of accomplishment when you beat it without using continues. But just this whole thing of I never get to see the rest of Omega 5 because I'm terrible at it, it just upsets me a little. But Trigger Heart is really good. Once again, like I said, I just wish I could tilt the screen.
Yeah.
So I could have a full screen. But other than that... Are you
able to stretch it?
No. You can't stretch it. You can't do anything to it. It's just one-third of the screen vertically. And once I figured out how to do the little grab move where you spin things around, it made the game a lot easier.
Hmm.
It's a good game. It's very short. I mean, I literally started at 12:30 and I had it beat by 12:40. I think I went through the entire game in like 10 minutes.
Jeez.
Yeah. So I've beat it with both characters. And the second time I went through, I got the achievement for not using bombs throughout the whole game.
Well, that's cool.
And the game's not any different for either character. It's the same for both characters. There's no difference. So, but I really enjoy that. Also played another arcade game called Rocket Men. It's Axis of Evil.
Rocket Men!
Yeah. Okay, Elton. Anyway. This is like a Smash TV. You played it, didn't you?
Yeah, I played the demo.
Good, then you can discuss this with me. Because I feel like I'm talking about stuff nobody's played. But Rocket Man Axis of Evil is like a Smash TV
mm-hmm.
kind of game with cel-shaded visuals.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like a comic book. And it is the slowest, most mundane type of those shooters I have ever played.
It is pretty slow.
It reminds me of Blasto if Blasto sucked. I mean, that's what the character...
That's going on the back of the box. Oh, wait, there is no box. That's going on the little screen when you download it.
The little
it's
description.
Like Blasto if Blasto sucked.
And it upsets me because I love Capcom, and Capcom has been on such a high note lately. They have made so many great games right in a row, And then this thing comes out, and you look at their arcade efforts, and their arcade efforts have been excellent, too, with Puzzle Fighter and Street Fighter. And then you get this game, and it's just like, what happened?
I tell you what happened. It's Capcom is using so many outside contractors to make their games. Like, take, for instance, Bionic Commando. There's an outside company doing the next-gen version. There's an outside version doing the... I mean, there's an outside company doing the online version.
Right.
And then you got an outside company starting on the rumored Dead Rising.
Right.
See, I worry about Dead Rising if it's not made by the Mega Man guy.
Yeah. The thing is...
His name escapes me right now for the life of me, and I don't know why.
Me too.
It's got an I in it. I can see an I. But I don't know where the I is. Yeah. But anyway, Capcom, it seems like only like 20% of their games are actually going to be made in-house, and the other like 80% are going to be made by outside contractors, Western outside contractors. Not that I'm dissing Western contractors, but...
Well, a lot of Japanese companies have gone to that, with like Silent Hills being made by the Collective.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not uncommon. It's just uncommon for this kind of game to make it through Capcom's quality approval.
Yeah, the thing is, it seems like things might go downhill if they keep on...
Well, see, I fail to believe that things are going to go downhill for Capcom because of Rocket Man. You know, if Devil May Cry sucked, maybe, but it doesn't. But if Rocket Man sucks, oh well. You know, and it I'm sorry, I had no... I really grasped no joy from playing this game.
Yeah,
I just didn't.
It says Capcom, but once you start playing it, it's like, where is the Capcom?
There is no Capcom in it.
It's like they just slapped Capcom, the name, on it. It feels nothing like a Capcom game. It feels more like a...
It feels like a very generic Xbox Live Arcade game.
Yeah.
Very generic. It's slow paced for that kind of game. The aiming is so, like, it's slow. So it's very hard to keep up with the game. You die constantly. The weapons are not very interesting, and I don't believe I saw a different enemy the whole time I played it. It was like the same enemy over and over and over and over again.
But toward the end of the level, they started using shields.
But here's the thing. With the game that really pissed me off is you notice when you move, the screen scrolls.
Yeah.
And you can't go back.
Yes.
And that irritated the hell out of me, because there'd be stuff back there that I wanted to get.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, because the screen scrolled and I couldn't move. I couldn't go back there anymore. It was like playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance online with four people, and you're confined to the same screen, and it moves and you can't go back.
I mean, that's such a terrible decision right there.
And it sucks, because it's so cool how you can create your character, and your character appears in the cutscenes and stuff.
You know, that was the best part of the game.
It was, and the visuals are cool. But the levels are bland, it's slow, the aiming is slow, and there's a lot of irritating things about it. I don't know, I was very disappointed, because I was really looking forward to it. And when I saw the reviews come up, and it's getting fours and threes, and I'm like, oh, come on, it can't be that bad.
It's Capcom.
It's an Xbox Live Arcade game like Smash TV. Come on.
Come on.
And then you play it, and you're like,
Not as good as the Burger King games.
Oh, he had to say it. Anyway, moving on from Xbox Live Arcade, I also played two other very big games this week. The first one was Bully. Scholarship Edition for the Xbox 360.
And how is it?
I never played it on the PS2, so I went into this completely fresh. I have to say, this is one of the coolest games I've played in
a
long time.
It was fun.
People call it Grand Theft Auto in school. It is so not Grand Theft Auto in school. It has a lot of the same ideas. Like, there's little missions around the school, blah, 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 whatever. What changes it up is just the activities that you do. It's not the same BS that you get in Grand Theft Auto, where it's go kill this guy, go take over this turf, blah, blah, blah. Like, for instance, one mission that I had in Bully was I had to take the fat nerd kid to the bathroom. And I had to, because he didn't want to walk through the halls, because he was going to get beat up. So I took him to the bathroom, and I was beating up bullies for him on the way, and then he was mad because the bathroom didn't have a lock on the stall, so he couldn't go. So I had to take him to the upstairs bathroom and beat up some more bullies. I had to steal some chocolates back for this fat girl.
I mean, wow.
It was literally like one of those big Bertha-looking women, and she wanted me to get her chocolates back for her. And I love the characters. The guy that you talk to, I think his name, I can't think of his name. But the guy that you run into in the boys' dorm that becomes like your accomplice through a lot of stuff, I really like his character.
Really?
And I really, the writing is excellent. The characters are very well done. And like the classes, uh-huh. I never thought I would enjoy school in a game. But these little mini games are so awesome. Like, for instance, the English class. In the English class, they give you this string of words, and mm-hmm. you have to create so many words out of those letters. So, like, they'll just give you, like, 10 letters, and then you pick, like, spell the, you know, and then you get it over here, and it shows you a list of all the words you can spell with this particular set of letters. And then you have, like, the biology class where I had to dissect a frog. So I had to literally cut it open and then cut out its organs and place them in a little petri dish, and it was very cool.
Excellent.
I mean, it's...
Some frog dissecting.
How much does that go for on 360 now?
It's
$49. Is it full price? Oh, it's
$49? Yeah, it's $49. That's so it's $10 bad. Cheaper than the normal price. But
I didn't get a chance to play very much of it when I had it on PS2, so I might pick it back up on 360.
It's definitely, because it literally, it's huge.
Right.
I mean, I've played it for like 3 hours, and I'm like 4% done with the game. That's how big it is.
Evidently, they're going to turn Burly, Bully into a franchise.
I hope so, because, I mean, I never played it on the PS2. I passed it up because it was towards the end of the cycle of the system.
Right.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to play it. I just never got around to it. And then they released this version, and I play it, and it's just, it is so good. I mean, it is so, so good. There's so much that it does well. The only issues that I have with it are obviously that it looks like a PS2 game ported up. There's mm-hmm. no lie. It looks better than the PS2 game, but it looks like a PS2 game ported up. And the camera is terrible. Like, the manual camera, when you move it, it doesn't always move the right way. Like, you'll be running forward, and you turn the camera with you, and the camera will spin around, and he'll keep going one way. So that's kind of quirky, but...
So you played the 360 version?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's, like, any difference between that or the Wii version.
Wii version has motion control for a lot of stuff.
Which I totally could see when I was doing the dissecting, because in the dissecting you have to draw around the uh-huh. parts that you want to cut open. And I could see, like, do you remember in Raving Rabbids where you had to, like, draw around the
right.
things for the rabbids?
Yeah.
In the minigame, it reminded me of that, and it would have been so much easier with the Wiimote instead of just the... It was the first game I said, imagine this with Waggle.
Right.
And it would have worked.
Yeah.
Like, the minigames would have worked.
Sweet.
But if you have the opportunity to play this, pick it up, it's definitely worth it. If you rent it, I almost guarantee you'll buy it. I mean, it's that good. So, it is definitely a great game. I'm sorry that I missed out on it now and that I'm just now, I feel late to the party, but it's an awesome game.
Excellent.
And the big game that I played this week, I have been waiting on for so, so long. Is Army of Two. And I've been waiting on this. I was so looking forward to this when they announced it. And it was supposed to be out in November. Then they delayed it to polish it. And I was mad. But I was happy at the same time because I get to play it, you
right.
know, in the time when there's nothing else out.
Yeah.
And I played it. I just got it last night. And I played it literally for probably 4 or 5 hours last night.
Whoa.
I played through split screen with my wife. We played the first three missions, I think, the training mission and then the first two missions. So it does support split screen, and it's split horizontal. It's actually not bad. The text is a little small. It's hard to read, but it works very well in split screen. And then I played some online with Killer Wolverine, who failed to wake up.
Failed to show up for the fight.
After we played.
Big shock.
But Army of Two, if I had to describe it, it would be exactly what I wanted. It was exactly what I expected it to be. It is a really solid third-person shooter that is best played in co-op. I cannot imagine playing this by yourself with so many little things that you can do. Like, it's not that you can do these anywhere. Everything is scripted and prompted. Like, if you need to climb up this thing, you walk over to it, and the button press will come up, and then you lift your guy up so he climbs up, and then he reaches down and picks you up and pulls you up. The levels are insanely long. I'm talking an hour a piece.
Wow.
An hour per level.
Jeez.
I mean, they are long, and they just keep going and going and going. And the aggro thing I thought was going to be a gimmick and stupid, and I think it's very cool. Like, the more you shoot at enemies, they pay attention to you, and you, like, glow red. if you do it long enough, you get this thing called overkill mode. And if you go into overkill mode, the guy with the aggro does 2 times the damage. So he just, like, he stands up and he just walks straight into the battlefield, just blowing people away. The other guy, the guy that's not aggro, he becomes completely invisible. The enemies can't even see him. So he can walk up to the enemies point blank and just blow them away.
Wow. Nice. I mean,
and that's an interesting dynamic.
And it's awesome because that's how you have to play, because we're playing on the normal difficulty, not the easy, but the normal and not the hard. And these guys are good. I mean, if you do not play the way the game is meant to be played, which you'll probably hate it because it's all pop. It's all literally pop and stop.
See, I don't mind pop and stop as long as it's done well.
See, that's what I didn't understand about you didn't like Gears of War.
I did not. Well, it was more than just the pop and stop for Gears of War, but Uncharted is stop and pop, but I liked it a lot.
There's a lot to Army of Two that's similar, because just like in Uncharted, if you try to run straight out, you're dead.
Right.
There is no running out and just killing people.
Yeah.
There is just not. You will die. And that's another very cool dynamic about Army of Two, is if you do get shot out on the battlefield, your buddy can come out there and pick you up, drag you back to safety, and while he's dragging you, you can shoot people while you're being dragged away.
That's awesome.
And then he puts you somewhere safe, and he'll heal you. The game is built for two people to play it. It is not built for somebody to play it by themselves. If you are not going to play this with somebody else, you don't need to buy this game. That's the long and the short of it. I mean, it is a long, really good game. It's beautiful visually. I mean, it's got quirks here and there. Don't get me wrong. Disappearing enemies and just weird clipping issues and stuff.
Well, those enemies are like ninjas.
they're like Yoda.
Yeah.
They disappear after they die. But, I mean, it's just... I don't remember, like, literally, I played through the first 3 levels with my wife, and then I played through the first, like, 3 levels with Killer Wolverine, and both times I played through the levels, I didn't find myself going, oh my god, I'm doing this again.
Right.
I was going, oh my god, I want to do it a different way.
Hmm.
And I don't get that feeling often when I play a game. It's like, I want to try something new when I do it this time, and, you know, I want to try to do this, or I want to try to do this, and the co-op moves are what make the game awesome, like when your buddy gets shield. And then you get behind him, put your hand on his shoulder, and are shooting behind the shield and stuff. It's very fun.
Oh, it sounds really fun to me.
I mean, I couldn't have been happier with the game. Granted, it's not like a 10, a 9, or maybe even an 8, like on a review scale. I mean, it's just a simple shooter, but it's just a lot of fun. It's just, if you're playing with somebody else, it's like the bee's knees.
Wow.
It is the bee's knees.
You did not just break out the bee's knees.
I did just break out the bee's knees.
You're fired.
Hey, wait a minute. You can't fire me. I'm the boss.
Well, you're still fired.
You're impeached.
You're impeached. But yeah, if you're going to play with somebody else, get Army of Two. I mean, it's a lot. If you like shooters and stuff like that. And the story's not bad. I mean, it kind of touches on some interesting issues.
It seems kind of quirky to me.
What's quirky about it, and I love this, like, literally during the game, you can walk up to your partner and either, like give him props, or you can tell him that he's done something wrong, which is hilarious, because if you walk up, there's several different motions, like, he'll walk in and be like, what's up, dog? And, you know, you slap five or whatever. And then there's another one, and this is my favorite, I do this all the time, is if you walk up to your partner from a certain angle and you press the button, they both do the Bill and Ted thing with their guns, they're like, and it's hilarious, I laugh every time. And if you walk up to him and press the attack button, he'll, like, slap him on the head, or headbutt him, or punch him in the stomach.
Jeez.
And it's very vulgar. It's very vulgar, like, if they were doing something wrong and you slap them on the head, they'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dick? But it's hilarious. The story itself is very serious. It's not quirky. It's the characters, the two guys in the game are what's quirky. The story itself is like, they did go to that, like, secret military type of the two guys that go in and do stuff you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
And they get paid lots and lots of money to do that.
Black ops missions.
Yeah. I mean, you spend time in Iraq in the game. So, and there are people talking about terrorists and all that good stuff. So, very good game.
I might want to pick it up.
I mean, if you're going to play it with somebody else, I say yes. If you're going to play it by yourself, not so much. Because your partner AI is kind of dumb.
Jeez.
So,
see, that sucks. They need to bring out a patch where they
make, I mean, he's not AI. He's not, like, incapable.
Yeah.
But there'll be times where you'll want to say, like, hey, you go aggro these guys so I can sneak around behind them and kill them. And you can't do that to an AI.
Yeah, that's
true. You just can't. I mean, there isn't any possible way.
So it's because it's got such an open-endedness to the actual two-player mechanic.
Yeah, the two-player mechanic is what it was built for. It was built as a co-op shooter, and that's the way it should be played. Because if you play it any other way, you're just going to be like, it's just an any other shooter.
Hmm.
It's a buddy game, and if you don't play it as a buddy game, you're not going to like it.
You see, that should be a genre right there.
It should be, and I've been waiting.
It's a buddy game.
That's why I'm so excited about this. That's why I wish Kane and Lynch would have been a buddy game, you know? I wish it would have had the online co-op two-player dynamic, because it would have made it so much better.
And you could kind of say that Gears of War is a buddy game.
Gears of War is very much... You know what? I've never beat that game by myself.
Really?
I've never played through Gears of War. I've never played through Halo 3 by myself either. I mean, that's just... Co-op should be in every game.
See, unfortunately, I did play through Halo 3 by myself.
I played through Halo 3 by myself.
See, I never have.
I played through it by myself and co-op.
What's funny is if, like, you go in... When you go into the campaign menu and you're selecting the missions, it'll tell you what level you beat single player and what level you beat co-op. I beat the first mission single player on normal. Everything else I've beat on legendary and co-op.
Excellent.
I've only beat the first level in single player. I've never touched any of the other levels in single player, which is hilarious. But the only other stuff I play is I played more Rock Band. Me and my wife actually got to the point where we don't even earn any more fans on hard.
Nice.
And we're playing guitar, so we have to play on expert.
See, we're playing guitar and drum. So the guitar is not a problem.
No,
but
the drums. But
the drum
is,
yeah.
No, we're playing on expert, and there's still some stuff that we can't do. Like, we can't do the Molly Hatchet song.
Oh, yeah.
We tried it, and we failed it. I mean, it's bad. It's rough. But we're working for the 1 million fans achievement, and we're like at 780,000 right now.
Wow.
So every song we have to play on expert, both of us on expert, in order to get more fans.
Man.
And that game is huge. We just got the jet to do the world tour, and it opened up 6 new cities, 28 new venues. And I'm like, God, how long does the world tour go? I know real bands don't even tour this long.
Yeah,
it's huge. And I finally played Stuntman again online. And you know what's sad? There's nobody online.
Oh, yeah, I guaranteed that.
Not a one person. Like, literally, we were setting up matches in ranked matches and just sitting there waiting on people to join. Nobody ever joined. It was like playing the club. It's a ghost town. There's nobody playing this game.
You see a bunch of tumbleweeds.
It's kind of sad. I mean, the coolest thing about Stuntman Online is the movie mode, where you both go through the movie scene and see who fails first. That's pretty fun. But yeah.
Hmm.
Like I said, epic.
Epic.
Epic fondling. My future fondling this week, I'm looking forward to, obviously, Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, you didn't do your future fondling, did you?
Oh, you didn't.
Oh, okay. My future fondling is I plan on getting smashed. Oh,
wow.
Super Smash Brothers is like the future fondling. The only other thing I'm looking forward to, really, this week is Condemned 2.
Nice.
So.
Oh, man. Condemned 2.
Yeah.
It got ripped in Edge, but Edge rips everything.
Edge rips everything.
EGM
loved
everything.
It. I mean, I listened to him talk about it.
Edge gave Condemned a 5 and Army a 2 a 4.
See, a lot of games that got...
Smash Brothers a 9.
That get 5s in Edge are actually really good games.
Yeah.
Because I buy and read Edge regularly. And, yeah, there's a lot of games I really enjoy that got, like, 5s and 4s. And I'm like, okay, there's a few flaws, but it's not a terrible game.
Edge rates more accurately towards the 1 to 10 scale than most magazines or websites do.
Yeah.
Because to them, a 5 is honestly average, whereas to most websites, a 7 is average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But there's still a difference between a game being terrible and being... just good.
Right.
Like, I would not say Army of Two is just average.
Right.
That's just me, though.
Right.
I wouldn't say
right.
It's great, but it's not average. It's above average game. An average game, you know, is like a Kane and Lynch.
Right.
Where it's not terrible, but it's not good.
Like a Two Worlds.
Like a Two Worlds.
A Two Worlds.
Two Worlds, to me, would fall just a little bit below average.
A little bit south of average.
A little south of average, but not terrible.
Right.
It's not a terrible game. I mean, it's not just... And I don't like that when they do it just to get... like, you know, press about it, so. But anyway, we got news now.
We do got news now.
Do you have one?
Sure, why not?
All right, let's do this.
And now, News for Gamers Internet Style Radio Program proudly presents News Quickies, brought to you by Snow. Mother Nature's way of telling you to stay the fuck in the house. And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
You can tell the bitterness.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bitterness towards snow right now in southwest Ohio.
Yeah, there's a lot of snow.
Well, I was calling it Mother Nature's last hoorah before spring, because you know spring is like happening right now. As soon as this shit's melting now.
Yeah, so. Spring starts today.
But here's one thing.
But when there's 15 inches of snow on the ground, it's kind of hard to be like, oh, yeah, spring's coming.
Yeah, I know. It is. But I have one thing to say to Al Gore. Global warming my ass. That's all I have to say. All right, first up on the news, last week we reported that Phil Harrison had left Sony to go to Infogrames.
The rumors were true.
The Atari. What the hell, man?
The only thing I can think is that he, you know, he blew up about thinking Sony should be more invested in casual gaming, and I'm wondering if Atari isn't going to reboot into making more casual games.
I wonder if they're going to reboot into making casual games, but at this point, there's only one game coming out that Atari's making that anybody...
Dragon Ball.
Well, besides Dragon Ball. I mean, like, Alone in the Dark.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what games do they have?
Right.
You're going to go... I just can't see leaving Sony. I understood Peter Moore. Right. I leave Microsoft to go to EA.
Right.
Okay.
That's a lateral move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to go from Sony to Atari?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's making a lot more money, though. And he's actually, you know, got a higher title there, too. So
what's
sure
next?
That's part of it.
Is Bill Gates going to leave?
Bill Gates is already retired.
Yeah, he already retired. But is he going to be like, I'm going to get a part-time job at freaking Subway?
Miyamoto's going to leave and go to THQ.
You know, Bill Gates isn't the richest... Bill Gates isn't the richest guy in the world anymore. Maybe he ought to pick up that part-time shift.
He might need to pick up that part-time. Yeah. He's probably crying about that.
Probably.
All right, next up. This is all bad news going on, I'm telling you. Midway loses $100 million financially in 2007.
Wow.
What are they going to do about it? They're going to shift to some more casual games. Oh, here
Big
it comes.
Big shock there.
Here it comes.
This is... I seem to remember about eight months ago us discussing... what the prevalence of the Wii in casual games would do to the industry.
Yeah. EA has its own casual division, and now Midway is shifting focus to some more casual entertainment. So expect to see a lot of Wii Midway games, probably.
Well, you know something. The market's big enough for casual games and hardcore games. I think they'll always be hardcore games. And
I agree with that. I don't disagree with that. But what worries me is that now that Midway shifts focus like that, does that mean we're not going to see games like Stranglehold anymore? You know, little games that... Well, Stranglehold wasn't budget-wise a little game, but it was a chance that they took.
Yeah.
And now are they not going to take those chances? Are we just going to see Mortal Kombat? You know, and the other big Midway franchises? That's the only thing that worries me.
Yeah,
that's been going on for a while, though, because you know, it's been
1 week
the
since
trend,
you looked at me.
it's been the trend. I was waiting for the "it's been a while" joke.
That
to come
one
back
is so
again.
Played out. I'm so done with that joke.
But it's been, you know, for the last 10-15 years, you know, little games, our developers aren't taking as much of a chance on little games anymore as they used to, so...
Because
it's not easy to take a chance on a little game anymore because the budgets are out of control. I mean, when you were in the 8-bit and 16-bit era, you could take a chance on a game because, granted, the budget was still a little higher, but nothing that, you know, if it failed, your company was done.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, if you make a big-budget next-gen game and you take a chance and it flops, I mean... That can doom a company.
Oh, yeah.
So
it sucks, and it's the long and the short of it, but what it means is more WiiWare shovel crap.
Right.
That's what's going
to Which is why it's
them.
Nice also to see the XNA stuff getting bigger, because it allows people to make a chance on, or take a chance on smaller games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a ton of, you know, artists out there and video game designers who... I mean, who knows? Maybe the next Miyamoto is just around the corner.
You never know.
You never know. It's only been, 25 years since he, spawned?
Pretty
Donkey
much.
No, it's been a long time before that since he spawned. But
no, since he spawned. But anyway. Next up, Guitar Hero March DLC. It seems like Activision has gotten on a monthly release schedule for DLC for Guitar Hero, which
trying
is
to
a
catch up to Rock Band.
Which is a step up, but it's still not the weekly crap that we get from Rock Band. With this month, we're going to get a modern metal pack, which is Hole in the Earth by the Deftones, Avenged Sevenfold's Almost Easy, and Thrice's The Arsonist. So if you're into modern metal, that's good. But here's the big thing. On St. Paddy's Day, to celebrate St. Paddy's Day, Guitar Hero 3 will get a free DLC pack from the Dropkick Murphys with three songs for free.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing, though. I was talking to Brian the Boogeyman Peterson about this the other day. How many free downloads have we gotten from Guitar Hero? Quite a few.
Quite a few.
Quite a few free downloadable tracks. Mm-hmm. How many have we gotten from Rock Band? Yeah. That's the only... I mean, granted, I believe that Guitar Hero should amp up their DLC and get it up to the level of what Rock Band's doing. Which, by the way, it's not to seg into too many more rumors. Did you hear the rumor of what the next Guitar Hero was?
I did not.
Besides Aerosmith? Obviously, they're doing the Aerosmith one.
Is it... I think I heard about it. Is it Van...
Van Halen.
Really?
So there's going to be an Aerosmith one? Well, the rumor was in the fiscal report that it was four different Guitar Heroes this year. Aerosmith is the first one. Obviously, Guitar Hero 4 is coming this year. Then Van Halen.
Oh, man, I'd be so jonesy for that.
See, everybody's all jonesy about the Van Halen
one. Yeah.
The Aerosmith one got a little flack, especially since it's $50.
Right.
You can keep the Aerosmith, but man...
You want to jump?
I want to jump, man.
Might as well.
Might as well jump. But yeah, free tracks coming on March 14th, so look for that this week. Next up, and this was a big one for me, Sony's actually taking feedback from the community. They're going to redesign and overhaul the entire PlayStation Network store.
Good.
Really?
It needs it.
Yes. They're going to take feedback and redesign it in early April, so... We should look forward to that in about a month.
Yeah, because the PlayStation Store at this point is...
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's
terrible.
It's like going to the world's slowest website to try and buy content.
And stuff's not... Like, stuff disappears from the store
at
random intervals. It just doesn't make sense, and it's weird how hard it is to find something that you want to download. Say, like, you wanted to go back and download Flow. You'd have to go through, like, 10 menus to find it.
And you have to know exactly which menus to go into, exactly, you know...
Yeah, it needs to be fixed up. It looks good, but it's functionality-wise, it's just...
Right. I think I would like it a lot more if it was more... if it felt more integrated into the system.
Because it feels like a website now.
Yeah, it's just like going to a website and getting stuff off. If it was similar to... Xbox Live's marketplace, where it really does feel like it's integrated into the system and into the dashboard. If they did something on the XMB with the PlayStation Store, I think it would be a lot better than the sort of external feel.
Yeah, it feels like you're leaving the PlayStation. Right. Of course, that feeling of disconnection comes across in the PlayStation 3 in general.
Right.
Like, you don't have the XMB in-game, which we're supposed to be getting soon.
Right.
You don't have the cross-game invites. You can't answer messages while you're playing another game.
Right.
That disconnection seems to be a theme, and hopefully they're fixing that.
Hopefully.
But just out of curiosity, has anybody else noticed how slow the marketplace has gotten lately? Like, how long it takes to load all the pictures?
Yeah.
I think they need to tweak that, because I think they're getting to the point where there's just too much shit in there.
And you know what? There's some stuff that they could probably stand to take off
you think?
Of the marketplace. So, I mean...
They could streamline it a little better than it is, because right now it's a little rough.
Agreed.
All right. Next up, if you're still playing Burnout Paradise, apparently there's a huge patch coming. I won't even go through all the list of stuff, but it fixes just about everything that's wrong with the game. There's about 30 fixes in this patch, so you're looking forward to that soon.
That's a super patch.
Next piece of news, I've never heard of this show, The Dexter.
Dexter?
The Showtime?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I heard that it's, like, really good.
They're making a game.
A lot of people like it.
They're making a game.
I don't even know what it's about. What it's
I think it's about...
It's a serial killer.
It's like
it's like
I know
a
that
serial
show.
Killer,
yeah.
But it's kind of a... I don't know. From what I've seen of it, it almost seems like, hey, let's make a television version of American Psycho.
No, they're making a game out of it.
There you go.
I don't really know what that means to the industry, but they're making a game out of a serial killer TV show.
There you go. Maybe it'll be decent.
Next up,
maybe it'll be Manhunt.
If you do pick up Bully, and I know that you love Bully, because Bully is such a great game.
Bully!
Apparently, there's been a lot of issues with the game. Freezing, lockups, kinds of like glitched achievements.
So you didn't have any of that?
Honestly, no. I have not had any issues with the lockups, the freezing, or the glitched achievements, unfortunately, because the achievements, they give them to you when you didn't earn them.
Nice.
That was the glitch. So I haven't had any problems out of mine, knock on wood. But I'll still look forward to this patch. This patch is going to fix it. Rockstar publicly apologized and said they did not run into this in focus testing.
Hmm.
So, but they're working on a patch now to fix that. Next up, Microsoft and Sony, two names you never thought you'd hear in the same sentence, are teaming up for Microsoft to introduce Blu-ray. Blu-ray.
Talking about it.
Yep, they're talking.
Blu-ray.
Steve Ballmer is behind Blu-ray now. That was a quick switch.
Yeah, but you knew it was coming.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it would be stupid of them not to. It would.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it would have been like Sony not making VCRs after Betamax went out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, so.
It's what's sad is how much news this makes now because of the internet and because of the fact that Sony and Microsoft are head-to-head.
Right.
Nobody stops to just think about, well, obviously that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Toshiba, wasn't it Toshiba that created the DVD?
Right.
So everybody had to go to Toshiba for it.
Right.
Sony makes
yeah.
Blu-ray. So guess what? Microsoft's not the only company that has to go to them.
Right.
To get rights for
yeah,
the Blu-ray
I think
discs.
I think that's the funny thing about it is that this is, let's make no mistake, this is a huge victory for Sony.
Oh, yeah.
But people are acting like it's this huge show of dominance.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Sony's been on the losing side of that battle more than they've been on the winning side. So
UMD?
UMD?
Betamax?
Minidisc? For Sony to come out on the winning side this time, it's actually really good news for them. So, yeah,
but
Microsoft won't be the first company going to them.
No, Toshiba will go to... Everybody will go to them.
Right.
It's not a big issue. It just makes news because it's Sony, Microsoft.
Right.
Next up, speaking of achievements, as we did earlier, Universe at War... And the only reason I bring this up is because this has never been done, and it's such a huge advancement in the way achievements are made. In Universe of War, the achievements were announced, and now, not only in multiplayer, when you get an achievement, do you just get some allotted gamer score and some bragging rights,
yeah.
You also get a bonus for the race you earn the achievement for. So, as an example, we'll just bring up the one. There's the achievement, it's called Building the Network. For that, you get a medal called Nanite Mastery. Basically, the achievement is for build one of every Masari structure during a ranked or conquer the world game. Okay, that's easy. Just build all the structures. Once you earn that achievement, you have a medal. The medal will allow you to repair. Repairing no longer requires raw materials. So you get a bonus for having the achievement in
also,
the game.
Also, the other thing, and it says it there, but it's not a huge thing, but when you get these achievements,
uh-huh.
The either the character or the building or vehicle that you get it for gets either a new skin or they get like a new effect. So it's easy for people to see online that you have, you know, this achievement because
yeah.
When your weapons fire from this gun, it's blue instead of red or whatever they choose for it to be. So.
Man.
And there's different achievements for each race that's in the game.
Advancements in achievements.
Yeah.
Indeed.
That's
Which,
awesome.
Speaking of achievements and entitlements, as they're supposedly called
right.
on the PlayStation 3, they have been coinciding now. Like, Dark Sector's achievements came out for the PlayStation 3 and the 360.
Right.
As well as Condemned 2. They're coming out at the same time, so I guess we should see that home integration soon?
Soon.
Maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know. But
we'll
yeah,
see.
That's...
I'm actually, as someone who used to hate real-time strategy, with the exception of Warcraft, the original Warcraft, I'm actually excited for Universe at War.
I
thanks
am, too.
To, thanks
yeah,
to the
me
beauty
too.
Of Command & Conquer.
Yeah.
Like, ever since Command & Conquer 3 on the 360, I've actually been looking forward to Universe at War. Because Command & Conquer really did take somebody like me who hated real-time strategy and made me enjoy the genre again. So
the thing is, I heard that Universe at War actually does the best real-time strategy on console.
Good.
Well, I'm very excited about that and the game that nobody talks about anymore, Halo Wars, obviously.
Yeah.
So, a lot of real-time strategies coming out this year. So.
Yeah.
A lot.
Next up, and you're still playing Grawl 2? More DLC co-op pack? Even
there
more?
Grawl 2.
You're going to get confused
That's
with how much
I mean,
stuff.
That is the good thing about the Grawl series is they always seem to be so heavily supported as far as downloadable content goes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Lots and lots of stuff coming out.
It's got a very strong community behind it as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People still play the hell out of it, so. Next up, Namco Bandai Games has announced Whiskey. Wii Ski. So it's just like a little mini game skiing.
It'll probably look about as good as the old skiing game on Windows 3.1.
Well, it's it looks like Miis. I think you can use your Miis.
Is it going to be for the Nintendo Wii?
You think, considering it uses Miis?
Well, I was questioning because
it's not spelled the same.
It's not spelled, you know.
It's spelled Wii as in W E.
Yeah, W E.
Yeah, but it is on the Wii.
Is it going to use the balance board?
Wii Ski. Yes, it uses the balance board.
Interesting.
See, that is kind of neat.
Yeah, it uses the Wii Fit balance board, which is true that we are getting a fatter board. Americans get the fatter board.
Woohoo! That's what I like to hear.
Victory for us.
I'm going to eat a Big Mac and a large fry while I play Wii Fit.
Exactly. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I'm going to eat a freaking hamburger. Yeah.
And the last little bit of news is, once again, the rumor still floating around that 360 is going to get a price drop within the next 30 days to coincide with, of course, Grand Theft Auto. And that it's going to get a new SKU. Another new SKU.
Oh, no.
But it's a good new SKU.
It's a good SKU?
The 60 gig is going to replace the 20 gig, so you now have a bigger hard drive.
Excellent.
So it's turning into the PS3.
Right. You know what I would like to see coincide with the release of Grand Theft Auto? I'd like to see the original Grand Theft Auto. Not Grand Theft Auto 3 on the PlayStation.
Yeah, the original GTA.
Which, despite the fact that it's called Grand Theft Auto 3, everybody still seems to think
it's the first
Grand Theft Auto. I'd like to see the very first Grand Theft Auto, and actually the second Grand Theft Auto on
XBLA.
Xbox Live, Arcade, and PlayStation Network.
That would be awesome.
Because most people hated Grand Theft Auto 2, but I actually liked it.
So I liked it. I liked London, too.
That's where they first... Yeah, London was pretty good. Yeah. They first introduced kind of the faction system in Grand Theft Auto 2, so... But both those games, I wasted so much. I remember actually buying Grand Theft Auto 1 right when it came out and thinking it was the most amazing game I had ever played in my entire life.
It was so cool the way it worked. I mean, it was just...
Because in 1997, you'd never seen anything like that ever.
Yeah.
No. It was so much fun. It was such a great game.
But anyways.
But that wraps up the news, so now we're going to move into some questions. Questions from the readers.
Yes. Dr. Pirate.
Well, his isn't really a question. He just says, why don't you guys come by the N4G chat room where we'll treat you like gods and fulfill your every desire?
Yeah, I'm going to have to stop by there.
Yeah.
So will you guys like if I lay on a chair, will you feed me grapes and fan me?
In a virtual chat room?
With giant fans?
I'll put slash.
Fan people virtually.
I'll put slash fans and gives grapes.
Yes.
All right. First question comes from Arathond. That's an interesting name. Says it was commented that developers having to adapt to a medium allowed. This was last week's show with Hideo Kojima's comments on the 50 gig Blu-ray. Do you also feel that developers for games on the Xbox 360 should not be complaining about the standard of requiring a hard drive for games? And by this, I don't mean like Burnout where you needed to play online, but to play any part of the game.
Hmm.
I mean, I think it's the same situation. If you go into 360 development, you know that not every system has a hard drive. So while I understand developers being frustrated about the lack of a standard hard drive, but complaining about it doesn't really change much because, you know, you knew that going in.
Yeah.
So, and it's not like complaining about it is going to change anything because there's already however many millions of consoles out there that don't have a hard drive.
I'd love to know the ratio of that.
Right.
I really would to know how many of the 17 million systems out there don't have a hard drive.
Right. So, I mean, I think it's just one of those things where just like Kojima with the Blu-ray disc, every single developer that you talk to is never going to say, yeah, we got everything into the game that we wanted to get in. You know, it's just not going to happen because they're creative people by nature, so they always want more.
Exactly.
And you have to be, you know, you have to constantly want more, but you also have to be willing to realize that there are certain limitations to the medium that you choose. It seems like a frivolous thing to complain about to me.
Like, for instance, let's assume that the Blu-ray disc could hold a terabyte of information. Hideo Kojima would then be like, oh, a terabyte. So now he's not just going to develop characters using the conventional polygons and the more recent technologies. He would probably actually invent a new technology,
right?
That actually not only maps and models the human figure, but also every single inch of the human figure would actually have its own physic signature,
right?
To where like every single muscle would you know, go through the laws of physics, like a subsidiary program within the actual graphics, and then he still wouldn't be happy because it would require
right.
gigabytes upon gigabytes worth of information just to create one particular character.
Right.
So using that type of technology would actually, you know, you would have to have a multi-terabyte.
Right.
And the thing is, it's just the whole conventional thing of I'm a creative person. I got unlimited amount of money.
Right.
And I got unlimited amount of dreams and aspirations right. for this game.
Yep.
And it just...
The more you have, the more you want.
Right.
Exactly. That's all it is. The more you have, the more you want.
That's an absolutely wonderful thing, because stuff like that is what leads to jumps in technology.
Yeah.
Is, you know, wanting more, wanting more, wanting more, wanting more. But you also have to realize that you have to work with what you have. So, you know, I'm all for dreaming big, but you also have to realize that you're working with a medium that's not, you know, universally adaptable.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
we're gonna move on. I'm sorry that I chuckled there for a
minute.
No,
that's
all right. I read the last line of the next question. But I'm thinking, the next question comes from Odin MW. Says, I'm thinking of getting a console that will run party games. I was thinking of Wii immediately, but yeah.
Right.
When we get to the end of this question, you'll know why not.
Right.
I was thinking of getting a PS3 because of the Blu-ray player and the fact that you don't have to pay for Live. Also, a lot of my friends have PS3s and I own a PSP. The fact that stops me from buying a PS3 or any console for that matter is that I don't feel consoles have a competitive community, and that makes me want to blow more money on PC parts. Do you think the PS3 will be able to satisfy my competitive needs? How strong are the clans, communities, and are there any leagues to enter? Now, this is a very fickle, funny question.
Right.
Because, honestly, if you want the competition, leagues, and everything, you want Xbox.
Right.
I mean, that's all there is to it, because PS3 hasn't been out long enough to really bring that community out in full effect the way Xbox
yeah.
has. And Xbox gamers have been carrying over from
the original Xbox
as far as games like Grawl and Halo and stuff like that.
And also the structure of Xbox Live makes it a lot easier to do clans and tournaments and stuff like that, because the invite system is so much better.
Yeah, it's cross-game and everything. I mean, I'm not saying that the PS3 eventually won't have this.
Right.
But at this point in time, you also mentioned that you do LAN parties. With the 360, you can do that with just hooking it up to, like, a router. And you can even all play wirelessly. You don't even have to have wires connected.
Right.
You can just run a LAN party, and 90% of Xbox 360 games support the System Link feature.
Right.
Something that Sony, I have noticed, feels like is not relevant anymore, and they don't even include it in most games.
Right. However, if most of his friends have PS3s...
That's the other
big
catch. That's why we always buy 360, because most everybody we know has 360s.
Right.
So, I mean, as far as that goes, if all your buddies are playing PS3, then get a PS3.
Right. And, the connectivity with the PSP is very well done. It's not... I mean, it's not to the point where it's mind-blowing yet. I think it's heading that direction, but... the PSP connectivity is cool, too. So if you have a PSP already, that's another plus on the Sony side.
That's why this is a very fickle question, because
right.
it's hard to answer with a definitive answer, because
right.
there really isn't a definitive answer.
Yeah. Depends on what's more important to you. If it's more important to you to play with the friends that you know that have PS3s, and you guys are a close-knit group and you like to play games together a lot, then I would go with the PS3. But if you're really into like the competitive, playing against people you don't know, ranked leaderboards and trying to move up, I mean...
Outside of Warhawk,
right.
I mean, the 360 is going to be the best. I mean, Unreal right now, but it is coming to the 360.
Right.
He didn't mention any particular games that he plays.
Right.
But as far as first-person shooters go, you will not find more competitive players than you will find on 360. And I understand his thing at the end. He says, I hate Halo kids. Everybody hates Halo kids.
Yeah, everybody hates
We all
Halo
hate
kids.
Halo kids. But
yeah.
if you mix through those, there's some really good guys out there that are really good at the game and are really fun to play with.
Right.
You just have to get through them. The problem with Xbox Live is that you have so many people out there to play with that you're going to have a larger margin of assholes and kids.
Right.
Whereas with the PS3, it's much smaller, more niche community. You're not going to see that as much yet.
Right. Yet.
It eventually will get there. Trust me.
Once the install base of the PS3 matches the install base of the 360 worldwide, it's going to be the same thing.
There's also once a headset becomes proprietary
right.
in the PS3, which it isn't.
Right.
So that's another big thing. And his last line I just have to read because it made me laugh was, "Oh, and don't say the Wii, that's just junk. I'd rather not play Handjob Hero with my Wiimote."
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Next comes from DBZ Boy. He says, "Hey, Zero, just wanted to know if there's any word on Haze's clan support, and do you think it will be as good as Resistance Fall of Man's?" I haven't heard anything about Haze in so long. It's like they went into the developer hibernation.
Right.
Where they're retooling the game. My guess is with Free Radical is that there may be clan support in it. I don't know. I mean, Resistance it's in there because Insomniac is just like, I mean, they're really stickler attention
right.
to detail
yeah.
kind of company. Free Radical's always been more of an arcadey type of game style shooter with, you know, they did GoldenEye,
right.
which nobody knows that. they did the Time Splitters games, which weren't very competitive. So I really don't know much about Haze yet as far as clan support goes, but if the PS3 gets it proprietary, then we may see it eventually. Next up comes from Child of Time, and this is referring to last week's episode. He wants to know, could you tell me why you dislike T-Hawk from Street Fighter? He says, "I know he wasn't nearly as good as the other fighters, but you seem to approve of Zangief, which is pretty much the same thing as T-Hawk when compared to the rest. I thought T-Hawk was actually better than Zangief and better than Balrog, and sometimes better than E-Honda. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on why he seemed to be the least favorite Street Fighter character."
He's just T-Hawk. Like, I know. He doesn't have the same
character appeal.
Right, because, and, you know, part of that is because he didn't come from the original Street Fighter 2. He was added in later, you know, with the other three characters that were added in. And part of it is just because he's T-Hawk.
Character design is terrible. I just don't like his character design.
And I think the other part of it is he's a little too similar to Zangief.
Yeah, he's not one of the original. That's like, when you mock a character, it's like, that's why Ermac isn't as good as Sub-Zero.
Right.
I mean, he's basically the same character, but he's just not as cool as Sub-Zero. It all comes down to character, really.
And not to mention, he's basically a walking, blatant racial stereotype.
You think? T-Hawk, with his face paint and a feather in his head,
right.
you know, walking around in a jean jacket.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
I mean, come on, man. What happened to subtlety?
You think? Well, you know, we can't really talk about subtlety because, you know, Street Fighter's exactly guilty of all of
it. Well, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can we say Fei Long? How about DJ?
Right. right.
It's not like Zangief's not a stereotype.
Right. There's a lot of racial stereotypes in the old Street Fighter series.
And remember the ending? The ending of Zangief where he's, like, doing the dance for freaking Gorbachev, man?
Yeah.
Stereotype.
All right, next question, and I have to say this is one of the most clever names I've heard in a while. We have Punky Bruiser.
Nice. That's solid.
And she asked the question. She says, "My husband is a hardcore gamer, and I am an avid gamer myself, but lately all I've been playing is The Sims 2 and the expansion packs, of course. Yes, I know, stereotype of women in The Sims, so yeah. He jokes with me all the time, The Sims isn't a video game, it's a life sim. So I just wanted to hear you guys talk about the situation, and do you think he is right?"
This is kind of a shaky subject.
It's a sacred ground as far as we've been talking about this since I don't remember how long.
I think in a technical sense, you could say it is a game. But then again, so is checkers.
See, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about this is you will say it's not a game if you don't enjoy it.
Right.
That's the thing. It is still technically a game.
It is.
It is still technically a game. It's an interactive experience, which is the definition of what a video game is.
I mean, Barbie Horse Adventures is a game.
Yeah, but it's terrible.
Right. Anything that you play on a game system or a PC It's an actual game that you play as a video game.
Yeah. It is a game, it's
definitely not a hardcore gamer's game.
It's not a hardcore gamer's game because, like I used to say when people would ask me, do you play The Sims? I'm like, no, I don't really feel like telling people when to pee. I mean, that's just my thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's not really for me. And that's the thing is, a lot of guys don't play The Sims, so we tell it's not a game. Like, we'll tell Animal Crossing, that's not a game.
Right.
And it is a game.
Right.
It's an interactive experience. I mean, there's a lot of games out there that shouldn't, you know, that we would go, that's not really a game. Like the mini games from the
Wii.
Like, that's not really a game.
But
they are. This is a distraction.
Right.
But it is a game.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very, it's a problem that, and I'm not saying that your husband is like this, but it's a problem especially among elite, quote-unquote, gamers.
Elite.
Who are elitist and dislike anything that's not the hardest of the hardcore. But the bottom line is, if you have fun with it, it's a game.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's on a cell phone.
There you go.
My goodness.
I take it that she is looking forward to Final Fantasy 13 Versus.
Looks like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she says, P.S., we both love the show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Next one, Child of Time just wanted to say, he just finished listening to last week's episode. He was tripping out because we asked his questions.
He's going
to
be tripping out again this week.
Yeah, he says, in comic book guy voice, best podcast ever. So, there you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We do what we can. IceX2 is back again. He says, sup guys, another week, and I got another question. Seeing all these AAA potential title games this year, what are your sleeper games that you're chomping at the bit to play this year? His is Ghostbusters, since he's a huge fan of Ghostbusters. He prays for good gameplay. P.S. as of 3608, Wombat, what's up with the PSN friends list stiff?
Stiff?
Yeah, he must have sent you an invite. And
oh, you know what? I haven't actually logged on to my PSN since the 6th.
Well, there you go.
So there you go. That's my apology. So I'll go on there as soon as I get home and log in for you. But with work and stuff, I haven't actually jumped on the PlayStation this week at all. So with trying to beat Mass Effect and everything. So as soon as I jump on there, I'll add you, I promise.
All right, so this is a good question because I haven't thought much about this yet. But sleeper hit. You know, my biggest game that I'm most excited about this year that nobody's talking about is Infamous.
Yeah.
That is my biggest game that I'm so excited about that nobody's talking about this game.
Thing is, I'm more of a Prototype kind of guy.
See, I'm very looking forward to Prototype,
yeah,
too.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. You know what got me more excited about Infamous? I read the other day. It was a little stab at it because nobody's been paying attention to this game. Apparently, the bosses are like Cloverfield size.
Really?
So what?
In Prototype?
No, in
Infamous.
Infamous.
So you might be using your superpowers to fight gigantic
monsters.
Oh my god.
See that right there? I was just like, oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
If that rumor is true, then yeah. Sign me up.
You know what else is kind of flying under the radar right now that I'm actually really excited about? And it might not stay under the radar for long. But Borderlands, I'm really excited about.
Borderlands sounded very interesting with like the 10 million combination
of
weapons.
It's like Diablo
yeah.
with guns kind
yeah.
of thing. Yeah, that I'm really looking forward to.
That's, you know, Prototype was a good one. I'd forgotten about Prototype. I think a lot of people forget about Prototype. So,
thing is, with me, though, it's kind of like I'm looking forward to all the big, you know, the big budget games, the big AAA games that everybody else is looking forward to. But then it's sort of like I'm also looking forward to all these games that no one ever hears about or has ever heard of at all. Like Mystery Dungeon, which I really like, even though it's crazily, stupidly difficult, but I don't know. It's kind of like I got two modes. I want either a triple A game or a game that's like completely underground.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll buy a game that's like in the middle.
Right.
That's like what you'd call a sleeper hit.
Yeah.
But I'm all about the triple A's and the undergrounds.
You know what else I'm kind of looking forward to? Actually, I don't have to wait much longer because it comes out at the end of the month. Is Viking Battle for Asgard.
Yeah, that's kind of slipped under everybody's radar.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that one, too.
I'm looking forward to that as well.
I hope it's good. It looks really good.
It looks pretty
cool. It does.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a shot, definitely.
All right, next question comes from FarmBoy44. Says, what up, guys? With the recent announcement of the release date of Metal Gear Solid 4, what is the next exclusive PS3 game you're looking forward to getting a release date? Well, obviously, one of them is Infamous
right.
for me. I mean, that's a big one. And then, you know, God of War.
Yeah, that's my big one.
I want to know when God of War is coming out.
So. Does anybody know when Little Big Planet is supposed to come out?
I don't think that has a release date either.
That's a big one, too.
See, I'm looking forward to Little Big Planet.
Little Big Planet's another big one. What's some other exclusive PS3 games coming out this year that I'm looking forward to
that
hearing
about? That aren't dated yet?
Resistance 2 is dated. I mean, it's November.
Killzone 2. I mean, if it makes it out this year, I'd like to see when that's going to
I'm still very
drop.
Cynical about that
game.
Yeah, I am
too.
I think it looks really good, but the last one just wasn't very fun.
Well, I'm just cynical as far as whether it's going to even release this year. I'm still up in the
air. I think
air.
With Resistance actually making it out this year, that they won't come out this year. It'll come out next year with God of War 3.
I really do think that if it was going to launch, the time to do it would be in the August-September time frame. And being as if we haven't seen anything else from it, and we haven't heard a date, that it might slip into next year.
All right, Child of Time comes back again.
Again.
And he says, hello again, kids.
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 For those of you who have a 360, maybe I missed you talk about this before. Do you use the custom soundtrack feature to listen to your own music while playing games? If so, what music do you play?
Depends on the game.
You use it a lot?
I do on some games. If it's a sports game, or if it's a game where I'm not really all that interested in the music, I use it a lot. I haven't in a while because my... what do you call it? The thing that syncs it between the PC and the 360.
Oh, the Media Connect?
Yeah, Media Connect. It's kind of messed up, and I have to download it again and fix it. But I did used to use it a lot when I played sports games and stuff. I'll tell you the game that I used it the most on was Amped 3, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And anybody who knows me well enough knows that I was completely and utterly addicted to Amped 3 when it came out. So I did use it. I used it a lot when I was playing that.
But. I still got you beating achievement points.
I know you do.
I have a whole 1,000.
That's because you actually beat it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I never went back and beat it.
I love that game. I love that. It was so much fun. But what do you listen to when you?
I listen to. Most of the music I listen to is country. With a little rock to it, like Texas country mostly. I like guys like Lyle Lovett, Dwight Yoakam, bands like Reckless Kelly and Mickey and the Motor Cars that nobody's ever heard of.
That's a cool name for a band, though.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the kind of stuff that I listen to.
See, there's a very three distinct tastes in music here.
So it's like kind of like country, but you're headbanging at the same time.
No, it's not like metal country. It's just country with some rock to it.
So it's like head bobbing country.
To an extent.
Head bobbing country. You just want to move your head.
It's very difficult to describe. So you just have to go out and download some songs by Reckless Kelly, Mickey and the Motor Cars. And if you don't have anything by Lyle Lovett, you should download some stuff by Lyle Lovett too. His isn't rock, but he's one of the best songwriters of all time.
There you go. And what about you, Gamus Khan? Do you use custom soundtracks?
Well, I'm a purist when it comes to playing video games and music. I like music in the games. But of course, if I was more of a sports gamer, I probably would, because, you know, those games, you know, they're just using licensed music anyway.
Right.
So in that aspect, I would use custom soundtracks.
What would you use? That's my question.
What would I use?
Give me some examples of some bands here that you would use.
Oh, God. Well, okay. On the rock front, probably Dream Theater, Rush, Journey, Boston, maybe a little bit of Metallica here and there, maybe a little bit of Megadeth for those fast games.
99 Ways to Die.
We're not ready to see you yet.
On the orchestral front, I'd probably go for the Lord of the Rings soundtrack, Star Wars soundtrack, Beethoven, Mozart.
You got a very eclectic taste in music.
And then on the electronic front, I'd probably go for New Order.
Blue Monday.
Yeah, Blue Monday, exactly. let me think. There's this one, Chemical Brothers, I like pretty well. There's this new album I picked up recently by a group called Justice, and it's freaking awesome. It's really good. And Maybe throw a little bit of indie rock in there. I'd probably go for put a little bit of The Sounds. There's a group called The Sounds, which is kind of like a modern day, kind of a modern day Blondie, because it has a lead female singer and is kind of like British pop rock. And also a band I really like. It's a Canadian band called Arcade Fire, which is really, really good if you like the indie rock scene.
Wow, you do definitely have a very eclectic taste in music.
Yes.
And you just named 40 CDs that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
I also failed to mention that I also like Weezer a lot.
Yes.
A lot.
I segued to mine by saying that Weezer would be on mine.
Right.
Most definitely, along with, of course, the Foo. The Foo Fighters would be...
I also enjoy.
The Foo Fighters would be on mine. I'd have Metallica in there, that's for sure. I'd have some Metallica, some NoFX. Of course, I'd have some NoFX in there. Some Pennywise. Bad Religion, maybe a little bit. I'm not a huge, huge fan of Bad Religion.
Boogeyman would probably have the Bad Religion, wouldn't he?
He would definitely have the Bad Religion. Of course, I would have some Feast of the Dead in there.
it's on my
hard drive. So.
Yeah, some Feast of the Dead.
I also, in my custom soundtrack list, believe I have some Frank Sinatra and Bobby Darin as well.
So, I have some weird stuff in mind. Like, I have Tattoo.
Wow, that's bad.
I have Tattoo in mind. I used to listen to that when I played Quake 4.
Nice.
Like, consistently, I would listen to that while I played Quake 4.
Did it go with the game?
It did, because I was playing Deathmatch. So it kind of went with it. It was a little creepy.
Isn't that weird? Like, sometimes some like music that you wouldn't think goes with the game very well. Like, I was talking about Lyle Lovett. I listened to Lyle Lovett a lot when I was playing Amped, and it really did go well together.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense why it would go well together.
It kind of makes me wonder what kind of music would go well with a game like Condemned, where it's like you're fighting
not
maniacs.
It would be some like death metal, like some Crocus or something.
Well, you know that.
Or you might be able to listen to some classical music.
Oh yeah, that would float well with that.
I don't know. I think Tattoo might actually go well with that.
Tattoo goes with every game.
Tattoo
it does.
Goes with nothing.
Everything.
Everything and nothing.
Everything
at the same
and nothing
time.
At the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I try to think of all the other stuff that I have. I probably would put my Dragon Force CD on there. Just those couple songs on there, because those are such good video game songs. I could play this. That would be the bomb.
Put us on your custom soundtrack list.
That's right. I could play Through the Fire and the Flames through every game. That would be some fun stuff.
Yeah, that'd go. I think that'd go well with Unreal. Tournament.
But what's so funny about this is I don't think I've ever used custom soundtracks anymore. And I used to be such a big advocate of it. I just don't use it anymore.
Remember the original PlayStation?
Like Ridge Racer.
Ridge Racer. Yeah.
That's the only game you could do that.
See
so
that?
You could rent Ridge Racer and load it into your PS1 and then just never turn it off, and you'd have Ridge Racer forever.
There you go.
See, that was
of course
that was
it'd
awesome.
Break.
Yeah.
It'd
you have
break.
To play it upside down.
You play it upside down, but
yeah.
That didn't make any sense if the game's loaded.
No, I know. I know. It was a joke.
Stop
Leave me
it.
Alone.
All right. Mega Drainix wants to say, at Wombat, Remote Play works with Pixel Junk Monsters.
Nice.
He does it all the time just to show it off to his neighbors.
Nice. Cool. I wasn't aware of that, so thank you.
Anyway, my question. Now that God of War Chains Olympus is out for the PSP and seeing what devs did with the game, what do you expect to see when they come up with God of War 3?
Well, it's a different dev team.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that series just has such a pedigree that I can't imagine God of War 3 will be anything less than epic.
God of War 3
man.
The visuals of the PS3.
Dude, that's like, oh my.
Yeah! Could you imagine, I mean, the gratuitous, like, violence
that's
going to be displayed with the power of Taycell?
I'm just thinking of the massive boss fights.
I'm thinking of the massive levels.
Yeah, the levels.
Because in the PS2 version, they were gigantic.
Right, and not to mention, I mean, as far as PS3 titles go, the God of War series is probably rivaled only by the Metal Gear series as far as scope and hype as far as a Sony franchise goes. So there's no way they're going to let it not be
epic.
Just amazing.
Did
oh,
you-
yeah.
I heard a very good comparison the other day from somebody else about God of War, that God of War was the equivalent to Mortal Kombat in the action genre. It never takes itself seriously.
Right.
It's overly violent. It's easy to pick up and play, and everybody recognizes it.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very good comparison between
the two. Very astute.
Yeah.
But everybody likes to make fun of Mortal Kombat.
Well, it's because
now.
Mortal Kombat's on like its eighth iteration, you know? And I guess people are just fed up with it. I'm thinking that this new one is going to be the rebirth of the franchise again.
I still love Mortal Kombat.
I love Mortal Kombat. Don't get me wrong. I think it just gets hassled because it relies on dial-in combos and fatalities. Right. I mean, that's why people give it crap. Because it's not Virtua Fighter deep or, you know, Dead or Alive or Tekken, or it's not the same kind of like fluid fighter. It's just different. It's just fun.
But I can't see in like 15 years from now people making fun of God of War.
No.
I mean, like, oh, God of War, that's a stupid game from 15 years ago.
I will never say that. Yeah. I will say just like I do now. Man, you remember God of War? That was the bomb. Because everything's the bomb.
The bomb.
Anyway, the last question comes from Silfo. Who says, hey again, guys. Before my question, I just want to mention some things. I've been listening to the first podcast because I couldn't remember the Eric Clapton joke you talked about.
Oh, the Clapton joke. You had to bring it up again.
But I actually found it quite funny listening to something from so long ago. Yeah, we think it's funny to listen to it now, too. For example, Zero, you said you were really excited about Army of Two. Yes, I did. The Wombat mentioned his love for Psychonauts and how people should play it. Mission accomplished thanks to Xbox Originals.
Yes.
And Gamba spoke about manual sniffing and a scent of new consoles.
I remember the manual sniffing episode. That was a classic.
Which, by the way, is something he likes as well.
Yeah.
I have another friend there.
I do to this day. Every time I get a new game, it's just something about the manual, man.
This is an epic question, so are you ready for this?
Okay.
It says, anyway, on to a question. Given that now we are firmly in the next gen, I wondered if you would give us a small retrospective opinion on last gen. More specifically, if you could have only owned one through the entire cycle, which would it have been?
Last gen?
Last gen. And if it just happens to work out unanimously as PS2, Xbox, GameCube, how close was it? Oh, and if you like the 4400, please plug them to uncancel it.
I never watched it, but I'll plug for them to uncancel it anyway.
I got the first season of 4400. It is a great show.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Plug to uncancel. But now we get on to the...
It's fantastic.
N4G Podcast has thrown their weight behind 4400.
I've never even heard of it. And I feel horrible.
It's like Heroes before Heroes.
Heroes before Heroes?
Yeah, you know the show Heroes?
Yeah, I know the show Heroes.
Basically, Heroes is...
About superheroes?
It's almost like a ripoff of 4400.
Okay, gotcha. I thought you meant Heroes before Heroes, like before the timeline.
Oh, you thought you meant it was like in the same series.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? Okay.
The premise of the show is very similar to Heroes, but it came out like 2 years before Heroes came out.
All right, so now we move on to the epicness that is Last Gen.
Last Gen.
We discuss it, and then if we could only own one, which one would it have been?
Man.
Yeah.
That decision's kind of... It's easy for me.
It's easy for you.
It's
okay, we'll discuss. Let's go this way. You pick which one you'd pick first, second, third, and give a reason why you'd go for the first one. So go ahead, since you said it was easy for you.
It's easy for me? Okay. The system that I would... If I only had one system from last gen, it would be PS2. Hands down, because... Even though I like, you know, most genre of games, I got a very strong, you know, relationship with RPGs. You could say that RPGs and then, the action adventure genres are probably my two favorite genres, you know, and they're in abundance on the PS2. I mean, granted, they don't look the best. You know, but I think they play the best. And the thing is, the biggest companies, you know, like Konami with Kojima Productions, you got Squaresoft that became Square Enix about halfway through the PS2 cycle. Those companies, you know, it's like whenever you get a game from them, especially like a Final Fantasy game. you know you're getting like a top tier type of game. And on top of that, I also love the Suikoden series, like Suikoden 3 and 4 was kind of crappy, but 5 was like 5 was amazing. And let me see what else. Of course you got the start of the Devil May Cry series, which was awesome. You got the first two God of War games, God of War 1, God of War 2. Those were awesome. So you got the action adventure genre just exploding on the PS2. Between that aspect, and then you got the Jak and Daxter, you got the Sly Coopers, you got the Ratchet and Clanks, because I would probably consider platforming my third favorite genre. And you got those, and I mean, there's just so much variety on PS2, and then on top of that, I think the best companies were prominently PS2 developers. So I'd go with PS2. That'd be my first choice. My second choice would be Xbox. Because of, to be blatant, the graphics were definitely the best on the Xbox.
Right.
Especially considering multi-console releases. The Xbox version, you know you was getting the premium version right. of that particular game, where you was getting kind of a crapped down version on the PS2. So, like, if it was multi-console, I'd get the Xbox version. So, that was my race. Now, I didn't even go on Xbox Live until 360, so I couldn't even really compare the multiplayer aspect for the Xbox. But as a single-player system, that'd be my second pick. And then right behind that, it'd be a close race with GameCube. Because of its, you know, it's just Nintendo exclusives, you know, the Marios, the Zeldas, you know, the Metroid Prime.
The Smash Brothers.
The Smash Brothers, oh my god!
Smash! Smash!
So you go PS2, Xbox, Cube.
Yes. And that's about it.
Alright, so...
And it is not unanimous.
Wow!
Because...
Dun, 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 dun.
I actually, Xbox is my number one, and I know a lot of people probably gasp at that, but the fact of the matter is probably of my fondest memories from the last gen are playing games online.
Yeah.
Playing games like Halo 2 online, playing games like Guilty Gear online and Capcom versus SNK, Mortal Kombat Deception, playing games like Psychonauts when they were originally released on the Xbox. It was ported to the PS2 later, but I played it first on the Xbox. The game that I probably spent, out of all the games I played the last gen, the game that I spent the most time playing was probably Morrowind, and that was, with the exception of the PC version, only available on the Xbox. Knights of the Old Republic,
yeah.
Jade Empire, all of those games I just loved on the Xbox. And I spent, after the Xbox released, I'd say 80% of the multi-platform games that I bought after I owned an Xbox, I bought on the Xbox. Either because of live support or because they looked better on the Xbox. Second place is the PS2, obviously, because there were a lot of games on that were exclusive that I really, really liked. Games like, some of my favorite games actually on the system were Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance, Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance 2 to a lesser extent.
Yeah.
Champions of Norrath.
Great game.
Oh, yeah.
And once again, a lot of the big part of that was the draw from multiplayer. Also on the Xbox, I forgot X-Men Legends, which was a blast to play online.
Dude, Moonwalk.
Right. And then, of course, games like God of War on the PS2. I'm not huge on the JRPG front.
Yeah.
I prefer Western RPGs, so I didn't really get into like the Final Fantasies and stuff like that on the PlayStation 2. But at right now, I have, you know, I still have a lot of PlayStation 2, Xbox games, and I think the numbers are just about equal as far as what I still have. I liked oddly enough, I liked all the Karaoke Revolution games on the PlayStation 2 as well. Those were all really fun. Oh. And then
the
game,
birth of Guitar Hero.
And the birth of Guitar Hero, yeah.
Yep.
And DDR.
But I don't play DDR.
That wasn't the birth, though. It was on PS1.
Yeah, so, I stand corrected.
And then, you know, after that, I got to go with the GameCube, obviously.
The poor little cube.
Poor little cube. There were some games that I really, really enjoyed on the GameCube.
Yeah, but there were so few and far between, right. I think, is
yeah,
what
that was
draws
the problem.
That one to the bottom.
So, but the one thing I will say about the last gen is, as far as controllers go, the GameCube won hands down. There has never in the entire history of console gaming been a controller as comfortable as the GameCube controller.
That thing was damn comfortable.
It wasn't exactly the most functional controller.
No.
But the as far as comfort goes, that was the hands-down most comfortable controller of all time.
I have to agree with you.
Easily.
It was.
And as far as best controllers ever, not just as far as comfort, the Wavebird was amazing.
Oh yeah,
amazing! It was the best wire up at that point. It was the best wireless controller that had ever been released, and it was incredibly comfortable. So,
and a lot of people are still going to be using it.
Yep.
Today.
Yeah, I don't actually.
And in the future, because of Smash Brothers,
I've got a regular wired GameCube controller at my house still with my GameCube. So that's probably what I'm going to be playing Smash Brothers with.
I got two Wavebirds.
Do you?
Yeah.
I have one GameCube controller, so I'm going to have to get a second one. Play some Smash.
I think I have two GameCube controllers.
I need to get a second one to play some Smash. That's all it's about.
Yeah. All right, anyways, well, on to you.
Oh, man. You know how hard this was for me to pick between the two? Because I want to say PS2 simply because of Metal Gear, God of War,
yeah,
Twisted Metal. Oh, man, there were so many great games. SOCOM, Navy SEALs. But like Wombold, I can't think of more fun that I had than playing online. Xbox Live was what made the Xbox so good to me. Just playing Unreal Championship, Ghost Recon, Rainbow Six, Halo 2, Project Gotham. I mean, it just never ended.
Yeah.
I love playing online back then. It was so much fun. The friends lists and being able to play just with your friends for the first time. It was just awesome. I mean, it changed the way I played online games. I mean, it changed the way I played games in general.
Right.
I got spoiled by the idea of Xbox Live, which is why Xbox holds a string above the PlayStation 2. Not much. Just a little bit.
Yeah, see, with me, though, when I played Xbox, it was strictly single player.
Right. That's probably why you didn't. And then I add my single player stuff to it, like I played Beyond Good and Evil on the Xbox, Knights of the Old Republic. I'm a huge fan of Knights of the Old Republic. Little platformers like Vex.
Vex was awesome.
You're the only Vex fanboy.
I am the only Vex fanboy. And Voodoo Vince, I am one of the only Voodoo Vince
Voodoo
fanboys.
Voodoo Vince was also.
But I love
really
that.
Good.
Crimson Skies.
Oh, Crimson
was
Skies
awesome.
Was amazing.
I mean, there was just so many great games on Xbox. And sometimes I forget because I hear so many people go, oh, the only game it had was Halo. I'm like, and I forget because it gets burned in my memory that that's all it had. But then I go back and I think about everything I played on. The DOA games were only on Xbox. So, I mean, that was huge. All the 2D fighters that came out late.
Ninja Gaiden.
Guilty Gear, Ninja Gaiden, Capcom SNK, the King of Fighters.
Yeah, you got some of the SNK games coming out.
And they were online only on the Xbox.
Right.
So that was huge, minus Samurai Showdown 5, because it was terrible.
Yes, Samurai Showdown 5.
It was awful.
It was awful. Was like the worst Samurai Showdown game.
But that really is the big reason why Xbox was bigger. And then PlayStation 2 obviously comes in second, because you just can't deny how many great games were on there and how many little games that you forgot were on there.
Yeah.
Like the Gradius series was on there. MDK2 from BioWare was on there.
Yeah, which was actually really good.
Yeah,
you forget about that game, and that game was...
MDK?
MDK2.
Yeah,
that's where you're
really
like
good.
The alien with the parachute?
That was the second one was on the PS2.
They need to revisit the MDK series.
They do. It's the first one was made by Shiny and, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Dave Perry.
Can you imagine that next gen?
Dude, that would be... That game was so... The sniper rifle on your head.
Oh, man.
So
that,
cool.
That was awesome.
Such a great game. Such a great game. And then just, of course, the God of War series, the Metal Gear series. Twisted Metal was a big one for me. SOCOM. I mean, there were so many great games on the PS2. I didn't get much into the RPGs. I'm just not a big fan of JRPGs. I think the only one I've liked... I'm such a mainstream person, but I loved Final Fantasy VII. I love Blue Dragon. On the PS2, I think the only one that I really enjoyed... You know, I don't honestly remember one that I really enjoyed. Yeah. Xenosaga
was
the only one that I really enjoyed. I love Xenosaga.
Was awesome.
Second one was not very good.
But I heard the third one.
The third one was good.
Yeah. But I still have yet to play the third one.
The second one kind of killed the spirit for me a little
bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was kind of terrible. But the first one was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And then bringing up the rear, just like everybody else's, is the GameCube. And it's not because it was terrible. It was just because of a lack of software.
And you know something? I think the Wii right now, especially today, actually is now just a little bit better of an overall library than what the GameCube had.
Which is kind of funny because the tables are completely turned sales-wise, so it's amazing
right.
to watch a system that is the same idea as the GameCube with
yeah.
the same structure, whereas the Nintendo games are freaking amazing, and then everything else is kind of like, eh, you know. But, I mean, those games are selling.
Right.
And people love the Wii.
The only difference is the motion control.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
Because the graphics certainly aren't different.
Right.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. I think
it's a little better.
I think the new Smash Brothers looks better
right.
than
yeah.
it did on GameCube.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt that yeah. the system looks better than the GameCube, but it's not, as we've always said in the past, it's not that jump, that leap.
Yeah, it's more of a skip.
It's more like a weep.
Wow. Just stop. You're done.
I'm done.
It's more of a skip with your arms floating in the wind.
Oh, there you go.
Ah.
Anyway, that wraps up the show. That was a great question.
That was a very good question.
Yes.
That wraps up the big show for this week. So
Coming in a little under 2 hours.
I was trying to get it in an hour and a half, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's all good. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. We will be back next week.
Yeah.
The question thread is now empty, so you guys need to get back out there.
Yeah.
Post some more questions because we have emptied it. We met our quota. So, anyway, but we're going to get out of here. Post some more questions. Post some more topics on the forums for ideas for the show. And as always, just continue to listen.
And we're going to go get Smash Brothers.
We're going to go get some Smash Brothers. We're going to talk about that next week. So,
yeah, we're going to go get smashed.
Mr. Khan, give me a Smash Brothers bagok.
Share our daily lives and all of our routines. Could be fucked up if we don't get a grip on reality. Times are changing. Can we set things straight? We must act now and use our heads. Too late.
spend a lot of time on your knees because you're on ice, so it's easier if you slide on your knees to hit the ball. So I dropped to my knees, and I slid across the thing, and I hit this ball. And as I hit it, this guy was swinging at the same time, and he drilled me. You wear like a helmet with a face mask, and he drilled me right in the face. And it,
so he got drilled right in the face.
I got drilled right in the face when I was on my knees going for some balls.
I'm sorry.
So, but he hit me so hard that it cracked the helmet. So I had to jump out and get a new helmet.
That's some violent head.
Yeah, and it's like I said, it's supposed to not be contact at all. But
man,
wow.
You know, I think it would be cool.
What's that?
Sudden death cornhole.
Sudden death cornhole. Full contact cornhole.
Tackle you before you throw your sack.